it was this re-realization of our mortality. And it was a really terrifying time in our lives.
This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place, the heart of the story.
Hi, friends. I wanted to do something a little different today. I am going to share one of my essays with you, and it is actually an excerpt from my book, Come Home to Your Heart, because it is the 1 year anniversary of its publication. And so in order to honor that, I wanted to share this particular excerpt with you because it is one of my favorites from the book. It's called The Opposite of Loss. And it's one of my favorites because I wrote from a really vulnerable place. And for whatever reason, it has seemed to really resonate with readers. Out of all the messages that I've received, that one has gotten the most attention as being a favorite of readers everywhere. And I also feel honored that Good Grit magazine asked to publish it in their most recent issue. And so I was looking at that essay and really trying to figure out what is it about it that resonates with readers. And I think that it's because it both covers difficult subject matter, the passing of my father and lots of emotions that came with the grief of that. But ultimately, it is a hopeful essay. It's about how we navigate through grief and how we keep on living in the wake of such loss. So it is ultimately hopeful. And I hope that it provides support and healing. I'm going to read the essay, and then I'm going to walk you through how I ended up writing it, what actually triggered me to write it, and then how it feels listening to it 3 years later after the passing of my father. He passed away in April of 2021. So this spring marks 3 years without him. And there's something about anniversaries that feel really important to me and to a lot of people. They mark something pivotal that has happened in our lives, both joyous occasions and really difficult ones. But they also honor the people that were involved in that moment. So I think of it as honoring my father's life whenever I think of this spring, every spring since his passing, I try to think of that as a time to honor what was, to honor the memories that we had. There's something also about anniversaries where each time another year passes, we look back and we notice growth or change or perspective shifts that have happened since then. So after the essay, I'll also talk about that. How I have changed in the years since. Here is my essay, The Opposite of Loss, from my book, Come Home to Your Heart.
On a sunny Saturday last April, I got the call that my father was losing his cancer battle and was not going to make it. I learned that when I visited him the next day in the hospital, it would likely be the last time I saw him. It was a crisp spring morning, and Jamie and I had just dropped Gio off at his kids' science class. We were sitting in a strip mall parking lot because I was about to purchase a gift for my sister. Unbeknownst to her, her boyfriend was going to propose to her that afternoon. And we were all going to meet up afterwards to congratulate them. I wanted to find the perfect gift. And then I got the news about my father. My parents had divorced when I was young, and though my mom remarried and had my sister, my father never did. So I shared many of my Sundays with him, just the two of us, driving around or stopping at my Grandma Kenny's house for a visit. When I became an adult, we went on family trips together to Ireland and Hawaii, strengthening our bond. But one of his proudest experiences was becoming a grandfather to Gio, who called him Daddo. Then, in 2020, my father got the news that he had cancer. One short year later, he was leaving this world. When I hung up the phone, I sobbed in the passenger seat of our truck as Jamie rubbed my back. And when I was too overwhelmed to stay in the truck for one more minute, I asked Jamie to drive me to Home Depot. In the midst of my grief, I felt instinctively that I wanted to get my sister and her partner something important, something meaningful, not some throwaway knickknack. I wanted to give them a tree. Bleary-eyed, I stumbled through the outdoor garden section, wondering how it was even possible to hold two opposing emotions in my heart at the same time. Joy and elation for my sister, deep grief and mourning for my father, whose life was being cut short at age 57. How do we carry on with such loss at our doorstep? As Jamie and I roamed the outdoor aisles of the garden center, I felt like a zombie. I was outside of my body, floating, untethered, in an alternate reality. Other people milled about, grabbing pansies for their garden, seemingly without a care in the world. I felt lost. I never imagined that I would be fatherless at age 37. As I walked around, I saw a section that said flowering trees, and something in my broken heart warmed a bit. I checked all the tags to see what kind of flowers they yielded, until I found the perfect one. It would bloom every spring to remind my sister and her boyfriend of the day they decided to spend their life together. Love would still flower, even in the midst of loss. As we secured the tree in the bed of Jamie's truck, that little sapling planted a tiny bloom in my heart during a very dark time. We celebrated the wonderful engagement that evening, and then the next morning, I said goodbye to my father. Within a span of 24 hours, I had embraced my sister as she leapt into my arms after her proposal, and I had rubbed the thin, shaking hand of my father, who was leaving this world. The contrasts of that spring were so shocking to me that I don't know how my heart did not split into two. At my father's memorial service, I sobbed as soldiers played taps and handed me my father's folded military flag. With each gun blast of the salute, I jumped, feeling like I had been shot. And also that spring, there were moments of love, of joy, of awe, of jumping on the trampoline with Gio, drinking a mint julep and wearing a silly hat at my sister's Kentucky Derby party. How was it possible to hold love and loss in my heart at once? My father's passing and a recent family health crisis have caused us all to be more cognizant of our mortality. And poor Gio has recently realized that our time on this earth is finite. One night, he called me into his room as he sobbed, asking what happens when we die. He was terrified, knowing that there would be a time when he was here and we were not. With my own tears in my throat, I tried to soothe him. But how could I possibly console my son when the very same terrors keep me up at night? I said that none of us know what the afterlife will bring. So what if we imagined the most beautiful place where all spirits meet? I said that one way to lessen your worry is to recite a list of things you're grateful for. I said, I'll guide you through a meditation and ease your pain. But as I rubbed his head and whispered soothing images of sunshine pouring into his heart, I wondered to myself, how do we keep living in the wake of such loss, knowing that loss is inevitable? How do we not let it consume us? A flood of images came into my brain. One of when I was little, my father taking me to the bookstore, our favorite place, and to Taco Bell, his least favorite, but my ultimate. My father renting a red Mustang convertible on a family trip so we could ride along the beach with the wind in our hair. I thought of the last words he ever said when he was in the hospital. They were on the phone with Gio. How are you feeling, Dado? Gio asked. And my father answered, a whole lot better now that I'm talking to you. Cleaning out my father's house after his passing, I found the get well cards that Gio had drawn for him. They completely covered the side of my father's refrigerator. My father's cupboards were full of the mugs that had pictures of him and Gio on them, and the computer mouse pad he used every day was a family photo collage I had given him for Christmas. And it hits me. I want to say to Gio, the opposite of death is not life. It is not merely existing. No, no. The opposite of loss is love. It is loving your people. It is the memory of a father taking his daughter to a fast food place he hated because he knew she loved it. It is when I drink a mint julep and toast my sister's engagement, so delighted in her happiness. It is when I jump on the trampoline with Gio. It is when Jamie cooks us dinner every night. It is when Gio gives Jamie and I family hugs. It is when I guide Gio through a meditation to ease his worries and he falls asleep instantly. His fear melted away. The opposite of loss is not life. It is not merely the tree itself. It is the flowering blooms that fill your heart with joy and awe. And so I whispered to Gio as he sleeps peacefully, love is not merely the opposite of loss, my dear. It is the answer to it.
Ah, friends, thank you for listening to that essay. It is one that holds a special place in my heart, and I hope that it was moving for you in some way. I wanted to talk about kind of the behind the scenes of what actually triggered me to write the essay. It's interesting because the event that prompted the writing of the essay is barely mentioned in the actual essay itself. I just kind of vaguely skim over it. I mentioned that someone in the family had had a health crisis and it was causing Gio to really start asking questions about mortality. So I haven't talked about this publicly really because it was very traumatic. So my father passed, as I mentioned, in April of 2021, and a year later, Jamie had a major health crisis, completely unexpected. It was March of 2022, and it was terrifying because one night, Gio and I were upstairs. Gio was already soundly asleep. I was getting ready for bed, and Jamie was downstairs, and I heard a loud boom, and I felt the house shake. I thought that it was Gio playing around in his room, like doing gymnastics or who knows. And I ran into his room to see what was going on, and he was sound asleep. So then my heart started racing, and I called down from the top of the stairs to Jamie, and he didn't answer. I raced down the stairs to find him unconscious in our kitchen. I dialed 911, and it was so terrifying. And Jamie was staring blankly, did not look conscious at all. And I finally shook him enough for him to come to, but I could tell he was barely hanging on, and I didn't know what was going on. And the ambulance and all the EMTs came and got him into the ambulance to rush him to the hospital. And in the midst of this, Gio woke up because he heard all the commotion and he didn't know what was going on. His dad was being whisked away in an ambulance. And I was terrified because I had no idea what was going on. And it was an absolute nightmare as Jamie was fighting for his life. I'll fast forward through all of the gory details, but what ended up happening is that unbeknownst to all of us, he had this bacteria, H. pylori. It's kind of a common bacteria, but that bacteria caused an ulcer in his stomach, which was pressing against a blood vessel, and he had been experiencing massive internal bleeding. Earlier that day, before he passed out, he was using the bathroom a lot, and he was looking a little bit pale and a little weaker than usual, but he thought it was just a 24-hour bug or possibly food poisoning. Little did any of us know that something major was going on. Eventually, thank goodness, 5 days later, after a series of many tests and different procedures, he was released, though he was still very weak and his iron was really low from all the blood loss. And it would take several more weeks, actually months, for him to fully gain his strength back and feel normal again. But what happened emotionally was that it was like a double grief. It was this re-realization of our mortality. We had already experienced the grief the spring before of my father's passing and all the realizations of how short life is that come up after that. And then here, Jamie, he was what, 48 at the time, was going through this major crisis, and Gio had bore witness to his own dad being rushed into an ambulance, and we didn't know what was happening and if he was going to come back. It was a really terrifying time in our lives, and it unearthed all the grief that we had just experienced the previous year before. And of course, it prompted Gio to ask a lot of questions about mortality. And that scene that I write about at the very end, when he started asking, oh gosh, how old was he then? He was 9. He was asking, you know, what happens when we die and what will happen when you guys aren't around? And he was really face to face with all of these impossible to answer questions, and with this realization that as a parent, you just want to keep them protected from that realization for a long, long time. You don't want your kids to realize our impermanence and just how uncertain everything is and how finite our time is on this earth. It was something I wished that Gio didn't have to experience, not only with the death of my father at age 57, but then with this health crisis with Jamie. And so that scene of me helping him meditate and trying to answer these questions in the best way I could, that happened shortly after Jamie came back home from the hospital. And that's what prompted me to write the essay. The essays always start with a sentence in my mind. It's a sentence that repeats over and over again, and it won't let me go. So what kept repeating in my mind again and again was, love is not merely the opposite of loss, my dear. It is the answer to it. And so a version of that just kept repeating over and over again in my head, because that's what I had, you know, a form of that is what I had said to Gio. The essay then worked its way around that, and I kind of worked backwards. And I started thinking about how in the midst of my father's passing, it was such an odd time because we were celebrating the engagement of my sister at the very same time. And that spring was this mixture of the highest highs and the lowest lows. And how do we hold it all? And that's what I wanted to grapple with in the essay. So that is how the essay came to be. So it was one of those ones that I wrote kind of fast and furious once that line was in my mind. And I do always a ton of revising, but with that one, it was pretty true to its original form. I tightened it and did the usual tweaks, but how you hear it is roughly how it came out. When I ended up putting it into my book, it is about 3/4 of the way through. And I realized how pivotal of a time all of that was for me with my own emotional and mental healing and growth. And so it felt very vulnerable to just write it all. And I think what felt vulnerable about it was just the sadness of having to not only experience those things, but then have those conversations with your children. It's like the loss of innocence, you know, looking at their wide-eyed faces and just going, oh, you're about to enter a different reality in which now you know how fragile this world is. Now you know that anything can happen at any time. And you just wish you didn't have to have them encounter that at such a young age. So writing about that was kind of heartbreaking. It's like, not only was it hard to relive writing about the moment of holding my father's shaky, thin hand at the hospital, a scene that I can't erase out of my brain, though I wish I could, because he was in such distress and he didn't resemble who he used to be. He was so thin. He was in so much pain. He was barely with us. And those final days, it was excruciating to watch him. Writing about that was hard. Talking about it with Gio was hard. And yet, even though I cry when I hear it or read it, I'm also by the very end reminded again and again of love as the answer. Love is the answer. It's like, if we have one more day on this planet, if we have one more week, well, what's the answer? What do? We love. We just continue loving our people. It is as simple and as complicated as that. The only answer to any of this, we don't have the answers to why, how come. The only answer is to keep loving. That is it. And so when I hear the very end of it, read the very end of it, it's like I'm reinvigorated with a mission. Like, no, that other trivial thing you're worried about so much, not important. It's a reminder every time that love is the answer and that I should be spending my time loving my people. Period, full stop. That is it. My producer and I, Michelle, we were talking about what to do for April episodes, and Michelle actually recommended this piece. And I had recorded it a couple years ago, right when I first wrote it. And so she sent it to me, and I was listening to it on the drive to go pick up my son from school. And it was just a couple days before the anniversary of my father's passing. And so as I was listening to it, I just started sobbing on the way to his school, but it was a good sob. It was a good sob because I needed to feel the feelings. I've been working on at least once a week, setting aside time to just feel my feelings and all their nuances, not to avoid them, not to push them down, not to write about them and analyze them, but just to feel them. And so I felt them. I felt all the feelings, all the flashbacks were coming to me. And yet when I picked him up from school, by the time 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later, I got to his school and he got in the back seat, I turned and I looked at him And I just had this reinvigorated sense of wonder and awe that this miracle person is in my life, that I get to be his mother. What a gift. What a gift. I looked at his little freckled face and I just thought, wow, how lucky am I? Despite all this heartache that the world can throw at you, look at this miracle just getting in my backseat talking about Minecraft and Calvin and Hobbes and field day at school. Look at this miracle. So that's how I felt. And that's how I continue feeling the more years that pass since that really hard time. I have a reinvigorated sense that my purpose and the human purpose is to love. It just gets stronger with each year. That's the wisdom that has come from that time and that each anniversary reminds me of with even more force and clarity, that the answer is love. The purpose is love. It is always love. So, my friends, today, can you go be love? Can you give love? Can you notice the love in your life? Can you notice the miracles in your life? Can you remember that love is the answer? Always. If this resonated with you at all, please share it with a friend. You can tag me on Instagram. I'm at Nadine Kenny Johnstone. And here's a person in my life that I cherish so much, my producer, Michelle Rado. Thank you. Big, big love to you. Remember, everyone, every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. See you next week.